Well, hello and welcome. We're so pleased you're able to join with us today for our service. My name's Andrew. I'm part of the team at Bethesda Baptist Church. And this morning I'm joined by Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Yeah, lovely to be with you again.
And today we're thinking about an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. We're thinking about goodness. We've been working through these on the last few weeks, and we've come to goodness. And I just wondered, Paul, if you'd had any particular thoughts about today's theme.
Well, yes, Andrew, I think this particular aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, it's an interesting one, I think, really. When I think about goodness, what immediately comes to mind is this, actually, which is, as you can see, a nice red, rosy apple. Looks very tasty. And I'm very fond of apples. And one of my peculiarities is I nearly always cut them into segments to eat them rather than just eating the apple straight off. And I did that a couple of weeks ago with a lovely apple like this, which was rosy red. It looked really, really nice. But when I cut it open, it was rotten on the inside. The core of the apple was absolutely dreadful, and you couldn't eat it, and it just had to go in the bin. And what strikes me really about goodness is that perhaps an element of it is consistency. It's what we're like on the inside, not the image that we maybe like to project of ourselves to others, but what are we like with our nearest and dearest? What are we like in our homes? But above all, what we're like on the inside. And that probably would be, for me, the key thing about this quality of goodness.
No, that's really helpful. I mean, the Lord Jesus said it's from within, didn't he, that things come.
Yes.
And yeah, express who we are. So that's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thought that really I would have is that it shouldn't just stay on the inside. Goodness is kind of, it's about what we are like on the inside, but it shouldn't stay on the inside. I was just thinking of the famous quotation that I'm sure many people will have come across, which is that the only thing that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men or good people should do nothing. And that was famously a quote used by President Kennedy in one of his speeches in the early 1960s. So it's kind of indicating that it's not enough just to be passively good on the inside, but we need to be active. And I guess, Andrew, the Bible sort of very much encourages us to be active in our goodness. So not so that people will pat us on the back and say what good chaps we are, but so that they will give glory to God. Those are my sort of just initial thoughts on this subject. I look forward very much to what you have to say about it in the course of the service this morning.
Well, thank you. That's really helpful. And I think we're going to pray and get things moving along, aren't we?
Yes. Yep. We'll come to prayer now. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that goodness is an essential part of your divine nature, and that it is something we can hold on to during the bad times and the difficult times. Father, we thank you that we see your goodness in your wonderful creation. We learn more of your goodness through your word. And we thank you above all that it is in the person of Jesus, your Son, that you have shown us what real goodness looks like in the middle of a corrupt and violent world. We ask this morning that you will help us as we seek to learn more together about the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness, and that this fruit will be evident in our lives to those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read the scriptures together now. And our reading this morning is Psalm 100, which speaks in a wonderful way of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. So let's enjoy the word of God together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And this is the word of the Lord. And so we're going to join in song and in worship together now as we sing of the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. We invite you, wherever you are, to join in and to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
This Sunday would be the Sunday when normally we would have our Gift Sunday, when often we support FIND, which is called Families in Need here in Ipswich. But we've had to do something a little bit different this year. I'm joined by Linda. Linda, what is it we've been doing this year to support FIND?
Well, as you said, Andrew, normally we would gather together gifts to give to families in need. But this year, because of the current restrictions, we were asked if we were able to provide them with vouchers from various shops so that they could use those instead.
And what sort of response has there been?
Well, it's been absolutely fantastic, really, really good. We're so pleased that we've had a huge response, and up to this point in time, probably around about £900 worth of vouchers, which is really great. Yes.
That really is generous,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely. Thank you to everybody.
Yeah, really encouraging. Have that sense of doing something together, which is yes, really lovely, which is good. And so what's going to happen to these vouchers?
Well, the vouchers will be taken up to Find, and then they will distribute them to the families that will, you know, benefit from them. And they already know, of course, which families have got a number of children, what number of children in. So they'll be able to give the appropriate voucher to the appropriate families, and hopefully they'll be able to enjoy spending them, which will be great.
And it's such a lovely thing to do. I mean, many of us are very, very fortunate. We have plenty. But we need to remember that there are a significant number of people in our town and community who really are struggling in these
yes,
days.
And it's brilliant that Find are able to do what they do. And they really need our prayers, you know, to help them through this particular time. And I think as time goes on, there'll be more needs, you know, as the weeks and months go by. Mm. So they really need our prayers, and we're very thankful for them and for other agencies that are doing the same thing. Mm.
So that's a wonderful response. We're really, really thankful for that. We've been able to do that. And of course, one of the things we rightly can do, of course, is pray. That's really important. And so at this point, Linda's going to pray for us now. Thank you.
Lord, we want to give thanks for Find this morning, as they work tirelessly every day to make sure everyone's needs are met in giving them extra help and support. Thank you for Maureen and for her vision and to help other families who have great need, and for all the volunteers who support her, which enables this very vital work to carry on. In the current pandemic crisis, and with all the restrictions that we have, things are having to be planned and done in so many different ways, which adds extra pressure for them all. So, Lord, we do pray that everyone will be energised and be kept safe and well as they work together and as they deliver the food hampers to all the families. We are very thankful too, Lord, for the vouchers and money to purchase further vouchers that have been given by the church family. We pray that this will be an encouragement to Find, and as the families receive them, may they have pleasure in spending them on something that otherwise they wouldn't be able to have. We pray that the real meaning of Christmas will reach these homes too, by the love in action by Find, and by the opportunities given to share the love of the Lord Jesus too. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Linda. We're thinking about goodness this morning, and now we're going to join Douglas as he talks further about goodness.
If you can't say something in front of your grandma, then you probably shouldn't be saying it at all. Hey guys, it's me again, Douglas, and today we're going to be talking about goodness. Yeah, goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And for me, if I'm trying to think of if something is good or bad, sometimes it helps me to think about my grandma. And my grandma is not boring, okay? You might be thinking, oh, well, you got to be like a grandma to be good. No, my grandma is awesome. She's so much fun, and she's really funny, and she tells lots of jokes and things. And one day I went and I told my grandma a joke that I heard at school from a friend of mine. And usually when I tell my grandma a joke, you know, she laughs, and she's got this just awesome, awesome laugh. My grandma has the coolest laugh ever. I love anytime, if anybody hears her laugh, they start laughing. It's the best. And usually if I tell her a joke, she'll be laughing. But I told her this joke that I heard at school, that this kid at school, he told this joke, and it was kind of a dirty joke. And I'm not going to repeat it because it's not a good joke. And so we were at the dinner table, and I told my grandma this joke, and I expected her to laugh, but she just looked up, and she was eating. She looked up after I told the joke, and she just looked back down at her food and started eating again. She didn't even say anything. And, oh, I felt so embarrassed to have told this joke to my grandma, and I felt so bad and, like, convicted. You know, I knew I shouldn't be telling jokes like that. And I don't know what it is, but it's really hard to be good. And people will like literally make fun of you for being good. I don't understand why that is. You know, sometimes people think that you got to be bad to be cool, or you got to be bad to be funny. Like you got to say bad words or tell dirty jokes for people to laugh with you, and you gotta do bad things or say bad words for people to think that you're cool or tough or something. But that's not the case. And people might even call you names for being good. You know, they might say that you're a goody-goody or like lame or boring or something or uptight because you don't want to do or say bad things. But God wants us to be good. That doesn't mean that God wants us to be boring. It doesn't mean God wants us to be lame. But you can be funny without being bad. And you can be cool without being bad. And the closer we are to God, the more goodness there will be in our life. And so I say I use my grandma as an example of, you know, what is good and what isn't good. If I couldn't say or do something in front of my grandma, I probably shouldn't be saying or doing that thing. And an even better way to tell if something is good is to ask yourself, if I said this thing to Jesus, would he be happy? Or if I told this dirty joke to Jesus, would he do the same thing my grandma did? And so that's my challenge to you guys today, is that you would fill your life with goodness. That you would not do bad things and that you would not say bad things, but only say and do what is good. Because God wants your life and my life to be filled with goodness.
Well, I think there's a really important lesson there from Douglas that we've learned this morning, and it is that that being good and living a good life is not sad and boring, but that it's actually a very exciting thing. Andrew, I don't know what your take is on this. Maybe what's your memory from childhood about what you thought about this this topic of goodness?
I think that's a really great cartoon, that with Douglas. I remember my mum saying to me very clearly at one time, you know, I don't really mind what you do in your life in terms of a job and occupation and work and things like that, that the really important thing is to be good, to be a good person. And yet, you know, boys and girls and older folks as well, you know, I can look back to when I was 6 and 7. When I was 6 and 7, we were put out to play in the street. We were, you know, you could in those days. It was great. We used to have a little signal that my mum used to hang a soft toy in the window at home when it was time for us to come in for tea or to come in particularly for bed. And if we passed the house on our bikes or whatever and we saw this soft toy hang in the window, that was the signal to come in. She didn't come out and shout for us. She just hung that in the window. And I can remember, you know, quite young, 6, that sort of age, 7, I'd pass the house, I'd see it hanging in the window, and I was thinking, I'm having too much fun out here, I'm not going in yet. And I'd scarper off round the block, and I'd disappear for absolutely ages, and then eventually I'd come sauntering in, and my mum would say, didn't you see what was in the window? And I'd go, oh, no, I didn't see that. And even at, you know, 6, 7, it was, you know when you're doing things you shouldn't. You just know. I remember when I went to school, I went away to school, a guy called John McKnight. I was about 9 at the time. I remember traipsing out the school premises with him to the local shop when we shouldn't have gone out of bounds to buy a bottle of dandelion and burdock. And I was there thinking, I don't think we should really be here. But you went along with it. And you know, even at like 8, 9, younger, you do know when you're not doing things you should. And it's good to be good. It's good to do the right thing. When people are being unkind at school, when people are seeing nasty things, when people are cheating, you see it going on round about you, and you do know. And it's better to do the right thing. And the Lord Jesus wants us to do what's good in our lives. Yeah, it just struck me that you do know.
No, well, thank you for sharing that, Andrew. It certainly brings back memories for me of being sent out to play. It's so different now, but basically that was how it was. We were expected, really, to go out for the morning and come back for lunch and then to be sent out again in the afternoon with lots of freedom, of course, down in Cornwall in those days. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Even as children, we do have that moral compass, and we do know the difference between right and wrong. Well, Well, if I could encourage you to read Family News again this week and use that to help you in your prayers and in that sense of fellowship that binds us all together during these difficult times. And there are those in our fellowship who particularly need our prayers. We would want this morning, and we will in a moment, to pray for Paula and for her family following the home call of David. And just a reminder that the Thanksgiving service for David's life is on Tuesday, obviously with a very limited number of people able to attend in person. But you'll find details in Family News of how you can tune in. You can go in online to that service and, as it were, join in and support Paula and the family, even though you're doing that from home. So we would very much encourage you to do that. And we do remember also in our prayers this morning, Belle Higgins, following the death of her husband, Colin. So please continue to pray for those folks. And there is a lot of detail in Family News also this edition about the run-up to Christmas. We thought it would be good just to give you a picture of what we expect and anticipate to be the pattern of our services, which ones will be recorded and put out that way, and which ones will be in church and live streamed in the run-up to Christmas. They're very much there for your prayers and for your encouragement, and please share the opportunity to participate in these services online with others. I think the carol service particularly is going to be a great opportunity. There are a lot of people out there who are going to just feel very disappointed at this Christmas time because all the sort of Christmas fairs and markets and carol services that they would normally go to, many of those certainly are not going to happen. But here's a wonderful opportunity to bring an enormous number of people together online, sharing in our carol service, which will be available from the 20th. So we'd really encourage you to get behind that and maybe to put some leaflets through doors of your neighbours, but to share the details online as well. So we're going to just come to prayer now and pray for our church family and just to bring ourselves before our gracious and good God. Let's pray together. Father God, we do want to bring before you in a particular and a special way this morning those who have been bereaved and who are feeling very much the loss of a loved one at this time. We do pray for Paula Grant and all the members of her family. We pray likewise for Belle Higgins and her family and friends. May they know your presence and your comfort. May they experience that peace which transcends human understanding. We do pray for Andrew as he will be conducting the Thanksgiving service for David's life on this coming Tuesday. Father, we would want to pause for a moment now and to use the opportunity to pray for many others within our church family who need our love and our prayers at this time. And Father, as we think of our church family, we would pray particularly for the staff and residents of Eventide Home. We ask that you will be with them and that you will continue to keep them safe during these difficult and dangerous times. We do pray, Father, for our Christmas services as they are being planned and put together. We ask that you will help us to deliver the authentic Christmas message to a world which needs this more than ever. We pray for the sharing of our services via the internet and via the church website. And we ask that many hundreds of others will join us and hear your voice at this Christmas time. We do bring you our thanks, along with our prayers this morning, for the amazing love that you have shown to us in sending Jesus into this world, a light shining in a dark place. Father, we bring you our thanks and our prayers now in his name. Amen. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. We're going to sing together now that lovely song, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. And we're going to, as we sing, be thinking, I suppose, of the real secret of goodness. It is Christ at work in our hearts and our lives. So let's worship together now.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Deepest valley he will lead.
His face absolutely beamed. He was the leader of a Christian student work in Malawi. And with very obvious joy, he said, "God is good all the time. All the time, God is good." And then his face widened out to the most amazing smile, and he said, "It's his nature." We read from Psalm 100 at the beginning, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever." Psalm 106 and 107 and Psalm 136 all begin with exactly the same verse. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." And Psalm 85 verse 5 says, speaking about God, "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you." We're thinking about goodness this morning. And God is holy, righteous, wise, loving, faithful, forgiving, generous, and kind. He is good. His goodness is seen in what he has made. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "For everything created is good." His goodness is seen in his commitment to what he has made. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." As Paul put it when he spoke in Athens in Acts chapter 17, speaking of God, he said, "He gives all people life and breath and everything else." God is committed in his goodness to what he has made. His word and his guidance is good. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And his care and his concern for you and me is good. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 in the English Standard Version says, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us, but according to his mercy." So it's to do with his goodness towards us. God is good. We need to get hold of that. So often we have a little voice that says, "No, God isn't good." But the God who is made known to us is good. So just think about these things. God, his character, and his conduct, they are good. Like that apple Paul was speaking about, you know, it's good all the way through. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who trusts in him." And that's the invitation that is held out to us all today, to come and taste, to come and partake, to come and receive in the Lord who is good. And of course, we see this goodness of God in the life of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, God. Talking to Cornelius about Jesus, Peter simply put it like this: "He went around doing good." I mean, how's that for an epitaph? Speaking of Jesus, he went around doing good. And when God spoke from heaven concerning his son, he simply said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." God saw the life and the work of the Lord Jesus. And what he could say was, "I am pleased with what he does." And we see the fruit of the Spirit modeled in the life of the Lord Jesus: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these are good things. These are aspects of love. They are dimensions of God's character. Those of you who have children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, you know, when they are born, everyone is desperate to see the baby. It's been so hard during these last few months when a new life has come into the world and families have been prevented from meeting together and sharing in that very special occasion. And of course, it's wonderful to have the pictures and the ability that we have to take photos on phones and pass them around so speedily. It's absolutely tremendous. And people pore over the pictures, don't they, of this newborn baby. And we love to see it. And inevitably, the conversation begins about who are they like. And I sometimes find that really difficult. I generally stand back at that time. And someone eventually will say, oh, yes, I see it. He or she has got her grandfather's nose or something like that. And you think, oh, the poor thing, it's got its grandfather's nose. Is that really such a tremendous attribute to have? But people are looking for the features. They're looking for the family likeness. They're looking for the traits that say they're part of this family. And as Christian people, we should be those who display the family likeness. We should be like the Lord Jesus. And as we know him in our hearts and lives, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us and to help us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. In Galatians chapter 5, where we read about the fruit of the Spirit, we're reminded there that walking in the Spirit is better than walking in the old ways. That walking in the Spirit equips us for change and transformation. We're not meant to stay the same. We're meant to keep growing and developing. That walking in the Spirit enables us to be fruitful in our lives. You know, when the cheating, swindling tax collector Zacchaeus met the Lord Jesus, for Zacchaeus it was completely transformative. He put his trust in Jesus, his sin was forgiven, and he changed his ways. You see, it affected him right to the very core of his life. And we see Zacchaeus, once he has come to Jesus, we find that he does change. He gives back, and he gives back more than what he'd stolen from other people. His heart was changed, and very simply, he did good. That was the change that came about. His sin was forgiven. He had a new purpose at the heart of his life. And he went and he did good. When I was in Malawi, I met a man called John Searle. John Searle was a fascinating character. He was brought up in a Christian home, but actually he rebelled against all of that. He went his own way. But, you know, going in his own way didn't really help him very much. It led him into quite a chaotic life. He did a lot of manual work. He hung around clubs a lot. He was a doorman. That's not to say that being a doorman isn't a good job, but it was the kind of seedier end of life. He became a professional gambler. At times, he did really well. He had a Bentley at one time. He was very, very successful. He would be completely ruthless. He would take a person's last penny from them. He would go to illegal poker games that would last for days. And when he didn't have any money, he'd go off and play poker. And he was very good at playing poker. And at times, he did really well. At other times, he had debts to pay. And he had to leave the neighborhood really quickly with his wife and go and try and settle somewhere else to get away from those to whom he owed money. But, you know, when he became a Christian, his life was changed. And his wife started a business selling bottled water. And God blessed that business. And it's called Aquaid. It's a flourishing business today. And as Christians, one of the things they did was that they decided that a percentage of the money on every liter of water that they sold would be given towards helping people in need. And they have poured, he and his family and his customers, as they have supported his business, they have poured tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds into Malawi and some of the other countries in Africa. You see, when God saves a person, he doesn't just only save a person, he shapes a life. And John and his family have been good to others because of God's goodness to them. It should flow like that. Jesus told a parable about the end of the age. He set out this picture for us that the nations would be gathered before him. And like a shepherd, he would go between the sheep and the goats and he would separate them. Now, of course, here in the UK, our sheep and our goats, they look very different from each other. It's pretty obvious what is a sheep and what is a goat. But you go, for example, to Malawi and you go to the Middle East, sheep and goats look very, very familiar. And it needs someone with a trained eye to separate them out. And in this parable that the Lord Jesus speaks about at the end of the age, when all the nations are gathered before him, he speaks there about separating these two categories. And to those who are welcomed into his heaven, he says, come take your inheritance, because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. It's a reminder to us of the premium and the value that God puts on our actions and the things that we do. And the powerful reminder that God sees and God recognizes our deeds. In the parable of the talents, where people were entrusted with various talents, we see there again how the Lord Jesus commends and rewarded those who did good with the talents that they had. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. That's an interesting twist there, isn't it? You know, when we think about worship, sometimes we're in danger of thinking about it in terms of just something that we do for a fixed amount of time, say on a Sunday morning when we meet with others, in this way. But you know, worship overflows into every part of our lives. And we can serve and we can worship God in the way in which we conduct ourselves and the good things that we do. These things are offered as a sacrifice. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. So God sees what we do. And it's not only God who sees what we do, but other people see what we do as well. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the importance of this. You know, as Christians, we don't do good things just for show. We don't do it so that other people admire us in that sense. We don't do these things in order to be saved. We're reminded it's by faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved. That's the only way that we can be right with God. But Jesus did say to his disciples, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're encouraged to do good things. And it's through doing those good things that people in turn give thanks to God. It's not about us, it's about him, and it's about the others. You know, in thinking about goodness for this morning, I find myself reading various parts of the Bible, and I came across a verse in James chapter 4 and verse 17, and it simply said this: anyone who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Did you hear that? Do you need to hear that at this point in your life? Is there something that you need to do? I'm not going to say any more. It's something that perhaps you need to reflect on and sort out. Anyone who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. The Christian message is about the Lord Jesus. It's called good news. It's not called good news by accident. And one of the good things that we can do is pass that message on to others. It says about Jesus that he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and doing good. You know, our deeds, our actions, the things that we can do are really important, and we can use those things for good, and we should do good. But one of the great things we can do really good things is also to share the good news about Jesus. We do that as we live, but actually we need to talk about that as well when we have opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus. That's a great thing to do. Goodness, you know, it touches everything. There isn't really an aspect of our lives where we haven't got the opportunity for goodness to be brought to the fore and used in the service of others and in the pleasure of God. In this last week, I got a letter from one of my teachers. He sends out twice a year a kind of prayer letter where he still kind of keeps together those of us who were at school who were Christians, and he sort of puts together a little catalogue of how people are getting on if we bother to tell him. And it's a real encouragement to get that a couple of times every year. And he often puts a little bit at the front end before he comes on to the newsy bit. And this week, as this letter came, he put in there a quote from a French Quaker missionary called Stephen Grellet. And it's really appropriate for us this morning as we think about this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, about goodness. He wrote this: "I shall pass this way but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, any kindness that I can show, let me do it. Let me not defer, let me not neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." You know, life can be tremendously busy. There's lots of good things that I think we'd like to do that sometimes we just actually haven't got the resource, we haven't got the capacity to do everything. But let's try and ensure that in the time that God gives to us and the opportunities that we have, that in those places where we are, that at those occasions, we might be those who are known for doing good in the name of the Lord Jesus and touching other people's lives for the better. May God help us do that as we enter into this new week.
Well, thank you, Andrew. That was really helpful. And thank you for reminding us, above all, that goodness is really about becoming more like Jesus and about sharing him, sharing his love and the good news about Jesus with others around us. And our final song that we're going to join in together now, it kind of confirms that thought, really, in that it says, "May the might of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day." It's a very aspirational song, almost in the form of a prayer. Let's use it in that way as we now worship together. Well, it's been lovely to have all of you with us this morning in wherever it is and however it is that you're joining in our worship. And it remains for us now just to wish you God's richest blessing, to say that our desire and our prayer is that you will know God's goodness in the days that lie ahead. So we're going to say goodbye to you at this point, and we'll then just close with a word of benediction. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Bye, everyone.
And now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless, be kept good at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.